start with the tape rather than saying anything. But I may be here for a little while just to see if we can't talk about a few things. I understand that some of you have been going into the Anointed Ones of the End Time, and that's a very good message. You've no doubt come across the very strong beginning statement of Brother Branham on the teachers. You know, most people are a little prone to take more on the false prophet than on the false teacher. And I would be very happy with that, too, to start everybody looking at false prophets in case I was a false teacher, to get me off the hook, you know. And that's the way human nature is. It's all right. It's clever. It's meant to be. You can get off the hook and get somebody else on the hook. That's perfectly all right. But in this particular case, we know that Brother Branham did mention that the false teachers would come after the false prophets, which, of course, we find over here in the second chapter. Is it the second Peter or the first Peter? Second Peter is what it's got to be. Beginning in the first verse, it says, "But there were also false prophets, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Now, of course, you got to go back to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew to get your groundwork on that one. And it says in the 10th verse there, 24, "Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Now, you're looking at the prospect of hatred coming up, "and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Now, you've got betrayals, you've got offenses, you've got hatreds, you've got false prophets deceiving people, "and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Iniquity is lawlessness. And I'm afraid that most people try to take the word lawlessness under the explanation description of the lawlessness, meaning apart from any word whatsoever which is true, or any law whatsoever which could also be true. But when you're dealing with what you're dealing here, the sign of the coming, the end of the world, and the warnings that God is giving His people, you're not dealing then with simply law. You're dealing with law as in the 119th Psalm, which is an encompassment of the pure Word of God which has been given to people. And it tells you that there, that they are not going to be interested in the law of God. Iniquity is going to abound. They're going to be lawless. Now, I think what you're seeing in this point here, whether you feel it stretching the point or not, is that what Brother Branham said about the denominations right at this point, they're lawless. They don't care about the revealed Word of God. The Roman Catholic Church for centuries has taken the stand, and so have the Protestants, that what they say has to be the truth of the kingdom. Now, it tells you here, at the time of the presence, there's going to be false prophets, so therefore, At the time of the presence will be signified by a true prophet. Now, that's axiomatic. I mean, look, we don't have to, you know, sneak around bushes and try to be great scholars to figure that one out. As simple as ABC. All right? Now, the coming of that prophet through the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring great deception. Take heed that no man deceive you. And it seems that the name of the game is going to be deception. It's just like every place you go now, they have all these billboards out where, come and play lotto, come and play bingo. And now that one man's won $40 million, everybody's very anxious to dig down and try to win $40 million. Well, out of 240 million people, that's all right. If you did buy 240 million tickets, you'd have to have the combinations. They don't tell you how that one man out of so many millions, out of so many combinations, was able to get that. Well, it'll happen to somebody. But what I'm trying to show you here is that deception is the keynote of the atmosphere and is the spirit of the age. Now, you'll notice that spirit of the age and deception is so strong that you got to watch it. We'll get back after a bit to the teachers, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't much matter about teachers. We let them slide. So take heed that no man deceive you, for many will come in my name saying, I am Christ. Don't believe it. They'll deceive many. Now, those men will come from everywhere, and they will be telling you that they are the anointed ones who can give you the secret of what you need. They certainly will. And there'll be some things that are very, very outstanding. And as you read books and understand what happens today and has happened, they'll make you cry for pure sorrow. Because the devil will use some people so close to reality only to throw them overboard. And even seeing William Branham destroyed the way he was. Of course, we heard on the tape where he said when he went down to New Orleans and he saw the slaves of blacks sold as cattle, he said, that's wrong. I'm going to strike a blow against that and it'll kill me. And William Branham said he was a lot like Abraham Lincoln. He was born in a log cabin. And he didn't have any education, grew up the way he grew up. And he said he always hated liquor. And he said, I'm going to strike a blow against it. And he said, one day it'll take my life. And he's killed by a drunken driver. Very strange. I don't know that that's the whole truth of it. I would doubt it. But anyway, you'll see all this deception. Now watch where the deception comes. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be troubled, because it's humbug. Now, does it make your paper clear today? All these news anchormen and all these guys are just... He'll tell you anything. Don't be troubled. These things must come to pass. There's going to be wars. Sure. These things have been going on for years. And it's going to end in a war. Sure, nation's going to rise against nation. But in the meantime, what's all the fussing? You're just being thrown a loop. Your families are being hurt. Your spirits are being disquieted. You've got problems whether you'll live or die or eat or not eat. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginnings of sorrows. Now, in that all, it tells you there's going to be a lot of deception. But you're going to get by. There'll be a real one come along. In the meantime, the whole world is nervous, 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 and more nervous. And there isn't any need for it. Long as the coral snake is not in your bed biting you, it doesn't matter if there's a million coral snakes. And if the war is on the other side of the globe, that happens to be their business and God's business. But you notice the countries are stirred up and stirred up and stirred up and stirred up ever since the prophet came on the scene. The prophet came on the scene, predicted the Second World War. We've had nothing left since that time. Since that time, everything has gone into literally a tailspin and into a gigantic funnel like a cyclone getting greater and greater. Many shall be... They'll deliver you up to be afflicted. He'll kill you. You'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Now, the false prophets can only come after the one true prophet. That's historically correct through the Scripture. That's why Brother Branham said there was only one real major prophet at one time. Now, if you read your Bible, you'll find out that that doesn't seem to be quite correct because other prophets were on the scene at the same time as other prophets were. But always there was one who took the major attention that he's the one that you would look at, just the same as you have today when Paul, back in Paul's day when he was on the scene, there was Agabus, and there were other men that were fine prophets, but they weren't the caliber of Paul. So you see, there is one real word prophet on the scene, and the others will kind of blend into it, go along with it, and something works out, but there is one. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, we talked about this iniquity. It's a state of lawlessness. It's a getting away from the revealed Word of God. And the getting away from the revealed Word of God, it tells you that the love is going to wax cold. Now, Jesus said that before John said it to the first church age, you have lost your first love. Now, you see, why am I putting it this way? Because the whole thing stems upon the presence. And the presence stems upon a prophet. And the prophet bringing a message. And it is that message that counts. I still am at a loss to understand how people cannot understand what we say or what Brother Branham did say. For he said categorically, there's no such thing as a true healing revival unless there is a message. And then he stood that day and he told us, he says, I want you to know this is sure. You that listen to this tape, you might have thought that I was trying to say that about myself, seeing I was preaching this message. I have no more to do with this message than nothing, no more than just a voice. And my voice against my better judgment, I want to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father I desire to do and am and determined to do. What was he going to be? A voice. Same like John the Baptist, the voice crying in the wilderness. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens purposely are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I surrendered myself to that he spoke to. It isn't me. It isn't the seventh messenger. Oh, no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the messenger, seventh church age messenger, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man. It's God. And the angel was not the Son of Man. The messenger was not the Son of Man. William Branham was not. He was the messenger from the Son of Man. And he was there in spirit form. The pillar of fire stood there. The Son, and Brother Branham said that pillar of fire is the form of the sonship of God. We're going to have to start learning to use more of his terms and be more familiar with them. If we had marriage and divorce, I'd read it to you, so we'd be more careful. We've got to be more and more careful with these terms, because even though he calls it the sonship of God, the same yesterday and forever, he also calls it Elohim, so you know what you're dealing with, so that Hebrews 13 and 8 is not simply Mark 16. It's only a part of it. You've got to let your mind go and begin to understand what you're into. You are not into the categorized thinking of a group of people that are led by denominations. You have been liberated by the Holy Ghost from all creeds and dogmas So you're now a part of the entire Word. So you got to understand that and get away from all this other stuff. All right. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. Now, so going back here, you have the presence and you have the prophet. Now, remember, someone will say, all right, the prophet said there's going to be a message. The prophet brought a message. He brought it from the Lord. And Brother Branham did say that the Spirit descends by this prophet's spirit. But he also said that pillar of fire was standing up inside of him. He also said that he spoke face to face. So there's many things the prophet might say. But there's one thing you better know this. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven was not William Branham. Now you're going to find a lot of that messed up. I don't know if people just want to be messed up. Now that you say, well, why? It's because it says so right here. Many shall come in my name saying I'm Christ. And they're going to deceive the many. And you watch how they rise up and tell you things to come. All these things. Then it says here, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now there's going to be an end when these things finish off. And at the time they finish off, there's going to be a Jewish remnant of 144,000 saved. There's going to be a bride of an untold number taken out of here. But they will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. Now the gospel of the kingdom he is talking about there absolutely was at the end time when Jesus went out of the sight and his disciples with him. They showed him the buildings, and he said, see not all these things, there shall not be left one stone upon another, shall not be thrown down. And the questions came about, when shall these things be? Well, the stones were thrown down. What shall be the sign of thy presence in the end of the world? Now you'll notice that God has not changed his ways of doing things since he destroyed the world under Noah. Now, there was a previous destruction. We don't know the first thing about it. There's no record, so forget it. But there is a record from Noah. And at that time, they were buying, they were selling, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, and everything was going on beautifully until suddenly the rain began to pitch forth in the skies and was all over. How many were saved? 8 were saved plus the animals, which is a type of the resurrection, God bringing things back in nature the way it was. Now, those that endure are going to be saved. Those that endure what? Those that stay with the Word that is brought at the time of the prophet in the present. And this gospel is going to go forth, and this is going to bring about the end. Now, here's something that people don't understand. Locked in here is everything that Brother Branham gave us, which was the revealed word, the seven seals, that which is perfect has come. See? Redemption running out. Time and eternity uniting. Space and matter coming together. And I believe that. See? At the time of the gospel preached at the kingdom. Now remember, the gospel kingdom was preached at the time of John the Baptist in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if you had received this one, such and such would have been the case. Now, when you come to this time, he doesn't say, if you had received this one, such and such would be the case. He tells you in Malachi 4, behold, the day cometh that shall burn like an oven, and all the dew proud and all the dew wickedly shall burn, and leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, that's immortality. You'll go up as calves of the stall, and you will tread the wicked under your feet, they'll be ashes. And he brings you the picture, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. And there is going to be a separation. Now, John spoke of the same separation. John did not say the fan is in his hand to thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat into the garner. He did not. He prophesied it. It is at this hour. For Jesus said, "Who made me a judge over you?" But all judgment was committed to him. And there's your picture of the judge right there. So, all right. The gospel of the kingdom. And Brother Branham said he went over the world 7 times. Many people might say, well, every single one must be brought in. Where do you find that in the Bible? Where do you find it? The wind bloweth where he willeth. The Holy Spirit breatheth where he willeth. You can't tell whether he goes, you can hear the sound of his voice. You don't know where he's coming or going. How do you know where the sheep are? The sun has always moved to the west. There's less and less in the back. People don't want to believe that because they call themselves free believers and free thinkers. They're not. They're denominational thinkers and believers. See? Now he said the end shall come. And there's a bit of an interpolation here when he therefore sees the abomination and desolation spoken of the Daniel the prophet. Stand in the holy place, whoso be to let him understand. Let them which be in Jerusalem flee in the mountain. Them which are on the housetop not come down, take with anything out of the house. Let them which is in the field neither return back. Won't them or child and those that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not in winter and the Sabbath day. That's not got a thing to do with the Gentiles. That took place under Titus A.D. For then there be great tribulation such as was not to the beginning of the world and no time nor ever shall be. That's right. There'll be greater scale, but no worse. Except those days be shortened, there be no flesh be saved. For the next sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, that's looking down at our time now. Then if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ, lo, there, believe it not. Now, there's your old gimmick right there. It's always been pulled by denominations for centuries. We've got the word, Christ is on our side, we're on our on his side. But this time, you'll notice it's a little different. It's going to be amongst people who say and give great signs and wonders. If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The Pentecostal movement was the ideal prop or foil that was needed by Brother Branham to negate the specificity of his meeting, of his own meetings and his own ministry, to narrow them into that which alone was truly of God. Because everybody else had healings and this and that and the other thing. See? So the false prophets arose and said, well, we've got some too. And they will have ministries that will be so great as to deceive all but the very elect. Now, what are they going to miss? They're going to miss one thing, thus saith the Lord. That's the one thing they won't have. Most of them won't have a correct water baptism. Most of them won't have anything correct. But they will have gifts. Now he said, behold, I've told you before, that was the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. Wherefore, if they say, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth, behold, in the secret chamber, believe it not. Certainly not. Why would you go see what you've already seen and seen the right thing? Remember, Brother Brad said, leave it alone. Don't touch it. Sure. He's in the desert. Brother Branham did go to the desert, but he didn't take people to the desert. He had public meetings. Nothing wrong with a man going to a desert. I'm not against that. Paul went to the desert. Jesus went to the desert. Moses went to the desert. Brother Branham went down. I don't care how many Elijah did. I'm not the least interested in you go to the desert. I'm interested in people who try to get people out there. And then I say, forget it. You're the ones that's messed up. They don't say, come and see the man out there. The man comes in.
Amen.
Brother Branham categorically said that. He said the prophet stomps out to the desert of the mountains and stays there and comes back with a message. Remember the time they tried to find old Elijah? The king sent out there, and so they found Elijah, and they said, oh, man of God, come down. The man of God, well, he said, I be a man of God. Let fire come down here and kill 50 of you birds right now. Fire came to kill 50 of them. So the rest of them ran back home, and they said, he's a tough old bird. Don't you know that we found him, but fire came down in heaven, his word, and killed 50 of them. Well, the king didn't care two bits about those birds. He had several thousand more. He didn't mind sacrificing. What did he care? That's people, see? That's serpent seed. That's that devilish stuff that we're against. So he said, sent a bunch more out there. He said, oh, man of God, come on down. He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down into heaven and kill 50 men. 50 more men got fried, blotted out, just like a star or something hit him. So they took the word to the king, and the king said, well, he said, we'll just keep wearing them down. We've got a lot of more men here. Isn't that nice how people are when they're kings? How'd anybody like to be a king? Shows what you are. You got something that you want to get over somebody. And you don't know the meaning of service, that he's the greatest of all, the servant of all. You don't know the joy of love? Raising. Top dog. Bunch of corned hash, not a beefsteak, let me tell you that. So, king sent out 50 people. And this captain was clever. And he said, oh, thou man of God, he said, 100 people got killed here, he said, and I don't want to get killed, and I know you're a man of God. He said, couldn't you just come on down? Oh, he said, okay, I'll come on down. No harm done. So he came down and he told the king, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I haven't caused Israel one bit of trouble. He said, you caused the trouble. And before it's over, there's going to be a showdown. And you'll know who is God. Well, you see, those men had something, and sure, the people ran out to see them, but you know what happened? They just got in trouble. The prophet had to come in where the people were. So it tells you, forget the desert. Don't try to go out there. Where these old women do, have their crazy tongues interpretation, and then they have their underground things like they took a bunch from Ohio out there to Arizona. What a mess. Behold, he's in a secret chamber. What does that mean? Three or four people get together to solve the thing out. Let's all get together and see what the prophet said. Well, I don't mind you giving me quotes, but don't try to tell me what he said, because what he said is doctrine. I mean, quotes are simply building blocks. I want to know doctrine. Now he tells you the truth. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Now he tells you, it shall be light about the evening time. He tells you the light is a message through a prophet by a presence. And you got it right there. I don't understand why people don't understand that. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, in the Wings of Snow White Dove, he said, when I go to Yuma, Arizona, I'm going to teach on the conditions of the rapture. All right, let's just stop and think. What is rapture? All right, rapture is catching up, right? Catching up. Okay. I'm not going to do this very good because I'm sure I won't be able to make it. These are people. Very fine people, too. Very white, notice. Which is pretty good. Okay. They're going to get caught up. See? Oh, I got them all. Caught up. That's rapture. Now, what are the conditions? Shout. Voice. Now, I want to know why people can't understand that. What are the conditions of a rapture? The conditions of a rapture are shouting the voice. All right, what is a voice? A voice is when the Lord himself descends from heaven with a message. And he gives it to a prophet. Where in 2 Thessalonians, by our gathering together to the Lord Jesus Christ is a message. And we come together on a message. Now, the true revival pointed to a message. The prophet would thus set the Lord was vindicated as the one true prophet. Everybody else, no matter what they had and what they thought they had and whatever they would do, from that time on, phony. Sorry, phony. I simply not interested anybody else says. If they're not phony to the other guy, they're phony to me. And even if they're not phony to God, they're phony to me for this reason. He warned. And the prophet said, you hear only one. He said, he was the voice. All right. William Branham brought us a message. That was to bring us to Christ. Where was Christ? Outside the church. He was to bring us into union of Christ. Because there has to be an espousal before there is going to be a catching up. Furthermore, they without us cannot be made perfect. There cannot be a resurrection without something done for us and to us. So, the conditions of the rapture are simply, there must be a prophet born on this earth of the caliber of John the Baptist, who will be baptizing in water when a light from heaven will come down and the Word will meet the prophet in the water. And he will come with an introduction and a message. And at that time will begun to do for the Gentiles what was done to the Jews, proving him is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and to fulfill the Word in the bride now which he could not fulfill before. And all of those scriptures must be fulfilled. It will also be fulfilled. There will be a small group who will not die but live and be changed. And then these people that are dead will come out of the ground. Now these are the conditions. Now the Bible distinctly says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, here is where I have my puzzles. And we could all have a puzzle. Where is heaven? In the Greek, the word heaven means elevated places. But back in Palestine, there were a bunch of people looking up and said, well, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into the heavens? Let's take a look at that. That might be interesting. And while they, verse 10, first chapter, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. So that's up. Behold, two men stood by them of white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? So they had their chins elevated, right? And their faces elevated. They were gazing. The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go, so as he went up, he's going to come down. So, I know now what up is. I don't care where you are, as long as you're looking up, you're up. If you're on the North Pole, you're looking up. If you're at the South Pole, you're looking up. If you're on the equator, you're looking up. I care less. Because it tells you what they were going through as people, physical. So they're looking up. Now it says the same one's going to come down. Now, we know that to be true in the physical. They were going to meet him in the air at the wedding supper. But watch, 1 Thessalonians. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now the very conditions we have, and you listen carefully, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, is actually telling you the rapture. And the conditions of the rapture is the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel. Those are your conditions. Or there won't be anybody getting in that rapture. And also, it tells us we are going to be changed. Because at that point, it did not say we're going to get changed. Now, John the Beloved already made the point. He said, when he appears, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And you know, to see him as he is going to be a revelation. Because no man can see God. Actually, no man can even see Jesus and get away with it on the grounds of knowing who and what he is. Because nobody did back in those days. They either had to have a revelation by being seen, or he had to do something to attract the attention, which attention some were attracted to and others weren't. To the extent that some attractors that were attracted said, oh, this is God, and the others were detractors, but they were attracted just the same. And they said, that's the devil. Okay? All right, you've got conditions. All right, the Lord's going to come down from heaven. Where is heaven? I don't know where it is, dimension. But he's going to come down. He's going to have a message through a prophet. Now, he's not going to need the prophet to raise the dead because prophets don't raise the dead en masse. God raises the dead. So now God's come down here with the message to raise the dead, to change us, to pick us up in a rapture, to take us to the marriage supper. And that's not going to be too fast, because it's going to take a long time to separate believers from believers. Because believers, as believers, are going to have to mature in distinction to others who believe but will never mature. They must be make believers. Or foolish virgin or something. Because they're not going to make it. Now, down here then, with the shout is the message, preceded by a dynamic ministry, where the ministry of Christ vindicates Elijah, proving who he is, so that when he brings the word, it fits right down. It can't fit down on any other word. It's going to take a ministry, see, to bring that word down. Brother Branham said so. That's why you had that great ministry. Nothing like it. Nothing ever will be again until Moses and Elijah come. All right, now we're thoroughly onto the condition, presence, prophet, word, bringing in the living bride, bringing her to a place under the third Exodus. And you got mixed believers and everything else there. Sure thing. You got people long ago saw baptism in Jesus' name and still back in organization. God knows what. See? Got to bring us to the place. You can't add a word or take a word. The prophet goes off the scene. So that he that is greater must increase, the lesser must decrease. The bride ripening. At the right time, the dead will come out of the ground. And this present living group will consort with them and have a blessed time, knowing they made it and which made it, and everybody, and then they'll keep coming up, and you'll remember some from the other age, and they'll remember you, because you can't remember them too well, and have them had a high old time on earth, so that there'll be no detraction from meeting him who is our Lord, that one that God has made both Lord and Christ, the one we're looking to see. You'll be able to see him. Don't worry about pillar fire. You might not get a chance to even see that. We're looking for the one that's incarnate. We're looking for that theophonic part, that logos part of God that took the flesh. A lot of people can't understand that flesh. It's just marvelous.
just because God got out of it and he's in a pillar of fire. They say, oh, well, what about that? Don't you, what about that? That's our Lord and God, our Christ.
Amen.
You bet. We don't sell him short. We praise and honor him, ask everything in his name, honor and believe in him. Now, when we get up there, the spirit that's in the midst of us will incarnate itself in that one, and will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Son of David, the Son of Man, Holy Ghost, Lily of the Valley, Rose of Sharon. He'll be absolutely all of the hundreds of titles and names in that person. That's what he's going to be. And we're going to come on down here and take over, and then we're going to set up the New Jerusalem. All right, now, you notice in here we talked about the light shining. And it says where the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered. Now, I know a lot of people don't like me because I don't really take exception to Brother Branham on this, because other students say the same as he did. But this word carcass is toma. It's not soma. There's got to be a toma carcass and a soma carcass. Soma means somatic, which is healthy. Soma is in Luke 17. Over here, they're running for the tomatic, the tomaine poison bunch. Over here, we're running for the healing in the wings that's going to give us resurrection or immortality. You know, people right today don't know that Brother Branham said that Matthew 24 was the rapture separating the people, but Luke 17 was the word separating the people. Well, it's right in the tape. A man says, Lee Dale says that. He said, you show me where the prophet said it. So one guy bust out laughing, brought him the book. He's been reading it. Unveiling the mighty God is one place. I'm not going to say these things as the prophet said them. This is your tough part here, brother, sister. Now, let's go back again to the book of 2 Peter. Peter's telling us here that as there were false prophets, you got to watch for the false teachers. Now, the reason for that is there isn't time for false prophets to come up at irregularly spaced periods that would give you time, you know, to sort of sleep and say, hey, here's another great guy. You got the great guy who's got it all, who's the criterion, so that everybody's got a line to him, William Branham, and anybody that doesn't line is a phony. See? So all these guys come with their great quality roles and their great shows and things, and it doesn't cut any ice. Because you see, they've seen the big one. And he didn't get away. What do you care about the little one? Now, what's the danger? The danger lies in the teaching. One turn door. See, there's the thing. Anybody can come then and say, oh, William Branham. Oh, there never was a man like him, but what school did he go to? Why, the man was arrogant and ignorant. Now, come on. Look, I can read the Bible, too. Listen, anybody can say that. But the Bible's a revelation. So what happens? Now you can take anything that William Branham said, which is the Bible in a 20th century message form for this hour, and you can twist it any way you want to, according to the background of your teaching, which could have been right once in another age. Now you've got trouble. Now it says here, false teachers, privately bringing damnable heresies, denying the Lord, saying no to the Lord. What if he's here? I don't know that he's here. I can't prove anything. I can tell you one thing, he was here. And I can also tell you that Brother Branham said, God takes the man, but not the spirit. I can also tell, he said, that the pillar of fire is going to lead us into the millennium. I can also tell you that the pillar of fire was the one that gave the message, and he's the one that's supposed to be here to raise the dead and get us up there, so who's here? I don't know. You know, folk, I'm going to tell you something. Since chickens can eat constituted horse manure and it tastes good. And we can eat chickens. And we think they taste good. I'm talking about appetites. You see what I'm trying to tell you? Anything tastes good to them, that's fine. The Bible said every table is going to be full of vomit. I when I vomit, I want to blow it all out and quickly rinse my mouth and let that horrible hydrochloric acid and all that conglomeration that I thought was so good going down just stick around my tonsils if I had any left. And yet people just love vomit. All tables are full of vomit. You hear that great sermon this morning on water baptism, Father, Son, and others. Oh, best vomit ever had. Luther's vomit that came to the Roman Catholic Church. Well, that's a real old one. Have you heard of the Chinese 1,000-year-old egg? 100-year-old egg? You haven't? Don't you think you eat Chinese food? Well, they finally found out they're not good for you. Neither is vomit. Denying the Lord. Say, he's not here. The very Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many that they refuse him, see. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. And remember, those ways are snowballing right now. They'll be getting the crowd. You watch. We're going to get smaller and smaller. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, the way of truth, who is the way of truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus never said that as a man. It was said in a man. The Lord alone is the way and the truth. He was the manifestation of it and the voice that indicated it. They're going to turn it. The very word of God that William Branham preached explaining, and he had to explain serpent seed to get the understanding of sovereignty and predestination. Well, we knew we couldn't sit here and take it ourselves. And through covetousness, with feigned words, hypocritical words, make merchandise you, whose judgment now a long time lingers not, and damnation slumbereth not. Tells you right there, there's going to be a resurrection right around this time. The whole thing's going to get dealt with. Do you know that William Branham coming on the scene was an absolute sign of the resurrection? He never came on the scene until Israel was there. He said, oh, Israel in the homeland going to have a resurrection. Hallelujah, hallelujah, shut up. When Israel's in the homeland and Elijah comes and the pillar of fire, now we're getting somewhere. You don't go and just pick up one thing. A good marriage is not some man and some woman getting married. A good marriage is the right man and the right woman getting married. And you don't go down to the hospital and say, well, this was our baby, but I like this one. He's got prettier toenails or something. You get your own. You know, people are slightly crazy. Brother Branham said they were. Now, if God spared not the angels that sinned and cast them down to hell, that's the messengers, and deliver them into chains that not be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world and goddess. Now it tells you right there, there was only one man with the word. Do you know that there's no such thing as righteousness unless it's preached? And you hear it as a word.
Amen.
Right. Women cut their hair. Men let their hair grow long. Unless there's a word said, the act of cutting or not cutting is not a righteous or an unrighteous act. That's why you got to know. See? He was a preacher of righteousness. Righteousness is a preached thing. Righteousness depends upon preaching, delineation, exegesis, showing forth in words. That's why it says over here in 1 Corinthians, "For Christ sent me not to preach to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them which are saved it's the power of God." Preaching's the power of God. Why? Because it tells you what's there. And if it doesn't tell you, you can't hear. You can't hear, you can't understand. And when you understand, then you know what's there. You say, that's it. You've got it. Let's go to Romans. First chapter. That's a beautiful one right here. Verse 16. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it." Believes it? You know, it's going way beyond that. There's something behind it. But all you've got to do is say, yeah, 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 yeah. You got me. Everybody wants to analyze, synthesize, stigmatize, remanufacture, God knows what. Why don't they shut up and listen? "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation of everyone believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed." For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The very righteousness of God is revealed by words. As it is, the very righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, "The just shall live by faith." For the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. He's against every other word. And he tells you his word is all about him and what he is doing. And if you believe it, you are with him. You're a word believer. Now that's grace. Now grace, remember, started from before the foundation of the world. Never forget that one. Here I'm doing my best to let people know how the rapture starts, how all the proofs is down here, and the epiphany is down here, and the acropolypsis is down here, and the whole thing is going on, and God's great cyclotron, the whole thing is moving. Oh, it's marvelous, and we're going to be caught out of here, and people are just spitting on it, and they're hating it. I don't understand it. We're past already these other things. We know them. And because we know them, these are the forces of the cyclotron. See? I mean, go over here again so we don't get ourselves all scrupled up. Tell you what, just too easy to think, oh, well, yeah, 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 I had a dish of porridge this morning, and my wife put some nice raisins in, that'll give me energy, and I drank some of that good milk that Dave and Ruthie brought by. Oh, yes, a little cream on. Oh, that was good, too. Oh, yes, a little more energy. Oh, shut up. Listen to this. It's a Christian. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who held down the truth and unrighteousness. See, what can a man do but believe? Nothing. From there on, God will do the whole bunch. And if God's not doing anything, shows you didn't believe. Don't get negative. Just go on and start over. See, now we had that at the end time. Brother Brandt said, just think, he said, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. Well, did he mean it or did he not mean it? Justification gave way to sanctification. Sanctification gave way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost gave way to the Holy Ghost himself. Did he mean it or did he not mean it? If you can't understand that, I'll tell you a little story. It's very wicked. Women never knew how they got babies. They came by storks. But nobody ever saw a stork. But all of them had babies. And one day they all stopped having babies. And a great big stork came. I thought that holds you kind of numb, doesn't it? You and I told you. The baptism with the Holy Ghost gave way to the Holy Ghost himself. You've never seen the Holy Ghost. How did you get to be a regenerated seed of God? That sperm of God. That life of God. But now God's here. The seed is running out. People don't want to believe the seed is going to run out. They don't want to believe that the sower is going to overtake the reaper. Or the reaper overtake the sower, right? That'd be the right one. I mean, it is my kind, I'm sure. People don't want to understand this is it. So this is the time you got all these teachers to rise up and explain away everything. Yeah. And the wrath of heaven is revealed against it. Because when this message gets turned down, the Sodom condition flares. Because it tells you. People wonder and say, hey, where has education been all these years? You get people still believing idols. Well, crazy Roman Catholics do, as well as Hindus. Crazy Protestants do too. Rabbit's foot and all. What kind of junk is that? Astrology. Tarot. Card playing. Casting bones. Necromancy. It's worse than ever. But notice what's worse than that. Vile affection. Women in incest amongst themselves. So that poor little Vanessa Williams, she's caught downright crude. They got better, bigger pictures of her, I guess, are now doing more and rotten things. And now he claims he's got the picture of her, one of the runner-ups, and another Miss America all pushing herself out every which way. Now why? What do women want to do that for? Surely there cannot be near the gratification of loving a man and enjoying in a proper act that is given by God for a specific reason to tear your clothes off and just show yourself. When that's against nature. It's become vile. And you know what? They will not retain God in their knowledge. Now you say, just a minute, the world's religious. You listen to me. Under the Apostle Paul of what I'm talking of. He said they left the true Jesus, the true Spirit, and the true Word. So there God can make a woman that's a strip teaser, a Lutheran, dance before men and women naked and do impressionistic acts to glorify God. And preachers back her up. What preachers? These preachers. Being told unrighteousness. No truth anymore. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. Look at those schools they're finding. Little pre-teen, pre-age kids going to school. A 70-some-year-old grandma. And her rotten, filthy bums just like her. fondling and having intercourse with the kids. Now, what are you going to do with it? Oh, not very much, if anything. Why? Why should they? They're without natural, they're without understanding. They're covenant breakers. They're evil. They're disobedient. They're haters of God. They're despiteful. They're proud. They're implacable. They have no natural affection. And they know the judgment of God, and they don't care 2 cents about it. Yeah. Knowing that one that came with him, they take pleasure in all these birds out there. I tell you, brother, we need to get our minds under control. Begin to realize what's going on. The cup of iniquity hasn't got full. That's why the bride's not out of here. We're waiting as in the days of Noah. The cup's not full. God said to Moses, we have 400 years is up, but he said, these birds ain't ready. We've got too many good laws yet. We may have pretty soon a woman president. She may dismiss Mr. Carraro, who can't even take her husband's name because she's so juicy-floosy. I wouldn't let her into my bathroom. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't want to hate the woman. I'm going to feel sorry for her, but I want to. She's got no right at all. But she'll get there. By November, if the cards could go over, Reagan could be out. I don't think so myself, but I don't know. But it just shows we're getting there. Yes, sir. Now down here, Noah the eighth person, he was righteous. Only one man had the word. And a little tiny group that he gave the word to. And notice they were blood relatives. And through marriage. See, they had a kinship. Same thing took place with Sodom and Gomorrah. Because they lived ungodly. For that righteous man dwelling among the seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver them, the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment punished. Now here's the thing that you're looking at. And I want you to understand. Everybody keeps looking at, oh, what did the guy do? 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 What did the guy do? Shut up! And I'll tell you what the guy did. He didn't listen. You think he was doing out there in the mud pile with the harlots and the mongers and the cheapskates and God knows what? No, he wasn't listening. Blind and dull of hearing. You get deaf and dumb people, they don't do much. Why? Because they can't see and hear. Then because they can't see and hear, they'll try to wiggle their fingers and do something else. But they're not normal. But you get an ordinary person who blinds his eyes and closes his ears and let him rush on Stephen as they did because he brought the truth. This is what's going on. They have turned on the prophet and they become teachers. And their teaching is building Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, come on. Let's go to... I know you got to have an answer for that because you'll just... I know what you do. You people shoot your mouth off when I shoot my mouth off. And then he's like, I know, but I'm going to get you out of trouble right here. Right, listen, the fourth chapter of Ephesians, it says, now that he ascended, what's he descended, Lord, power, fear, and he descended, same descended far below. And when he ascended, came back here, he gave prophets and apostles and so on. Now, in verse 12, to perfect the saints, to the work of the ministry, edify the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, the measure attached to the fullness of Christ. We henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about the every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but holding the truth in love, grew up unto him which, in all things which is Christ the head, from whom the whole body comes together. See? That's what's happening to us. By a word. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it. See? And so, we look at these things, and I'm not finished, and I didn't get to what I wanted to get to. But I'll get back to another time. Don't worry, I get time to do it. But just looking at these things, you know, they run across my mind, and people say certain things, well, you don't believe and do believe. And I say, look, I got no trouble if he didn't come down. Brother Branham said he came up. Brother Joe gave a good illustration. He said, how in the world could he come up at the same time he came down? So he said, well, he said, if you pour water into a glass, it comes up as it comes down. He said, that satisfied me. Satisfies me too, Joe. Whether you got the right answer, I don't give a rip. Very good answer. I said, it's fine for us. I wouldn't say. I certainly wouldn't. I would not fault it. It's beautiful. Because it's really the truth. Every age had a measure of the word full of the Holy Ghost of life coming up, 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 down. And when you come to the place where there's no more measures, what is it? It's the one that poured the measure in because it had to come out of him. Because the bride does not become God. This is the craziest thing in the world. When people say, well, God poured everything into Christ and Christ poured everything into the bride. Well, then there's no more God. There's no more Christ. Hey, bride, we got it all. Well, listen, if we got it all, you take your whoopies someplace else because I want to puke out of my eyes and my nose and every place in my body where there's an orifice because I'm sick, sick, sick and tired. I haven't got anything I want. No, there's what he... I'm not God and the bride is not God. He poured in for her salvation. Whatever he did, I don't fully understand. But I do know that we're supposed to believe that God is in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And so therefore I take redemption to be the full thrust of what we're into now. And God poured every bit of redemption into him and every bit of redemption's into us, so we're not redeemed.
Amen.
Now the last little edge of it was here. And he's going to get us out of here. And I'm rejoicing. And we're filling up. And we're filling up. And we're filling up. And they're filling up. And they're filling up. And we're bringing in. And we're bringing in. And they're rejecting. And they're rejecting. And we're going on. And we're going on. And they're going backward. Or they say, Brother Vail, I don't believe everyone went away. Well, I don't see everyone went away. Fine, he never went away. I say, he never went away. He always was here. But Brother Branham said he's away. He's here. He wasn't here 2,000 years ago because now he's talking face to face with William Branham and not to Paul. So if he never went away, fine. If he never went away, fine. I got no problem. He turned the corner while he's here.
That's right.
When he turned the corner, what happened? I want to know. This is a juncture. I don't care if he never went away. Bible says he did. But I'm trying to make my friends and my enemies happy. I'm trying to say, well, you don't believe what I believe, that's fine. I got the quote right home on my desk. The man says that what you see, it's a terrible thing, but what these people preach. And before he preached, the people knew better. They should have called his hand right there. Well, he said that they're preaching. He didn't call my name, but he might as well have because it was hitting at me. Well, he said that they don't believe that in a literal coming. He said they could believe in a spiritual. They don't believe they're going to meet him in the air. He doesn't believe the rapture. Brother Branham said, I am going to give you the conditions to meeting him in the air. And he said he did all three in descending. So I don't care if he's in descending. I'll go that far. Although I know he did. I say, what's he here for? What is he doing? What is going on? Where's the division? Now they're crying because they're sure that Brother Branham did not say that this word is dividing believer and believer, but Brother Branham did say so. Christ the mystery of God revealed. And other places too. Now, so we got a bunch of teachers teaching. And let's face it, some got enough guts to say the prophet was wrong. But some ain't that stupid. But there are those so stupid who will listen to a man who says the prophet's wrong. Because that means they don't believe the prophet's right either. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Your brother Branham was wrong. He had more right being wrong than these people had right being right. Because you see, God's prophets don't make wrong. How about the time that God let Moses strike the rock and the water came forth? A prophet is right even when he's not right.
Amen.
He's a prisoner. He's bound up. Lots of things people don't understand. Try to understand the brother, sister. We're at the end time. We're at the end time. There's going to be more and more teaching going around. That's one reason I just soon not teach anymore. I'm not unhappy that... Now, that was a lie right there. I'm not unhappy that I can do something else, you know, like eat. If I could eat something, I don't feel hungry anymore. But I do get very unhappy that I'm not preaching. That might be something I'm supposed to go through. I don't know. I haven't any idea. But I do know certain things are still in my mind if I preach them or not. If I don't preach them, my ministry will not be finished because I've left some things in the air that should be covered, that aren't covered to the extent they should be covered. Because people think I teach out of here, then we don't believe in the fine things of love. We do. But we've got to understand where love comes from every direction, and what it's all about, based on the Word. And then you judge yourself as to whether you are in the love of God and doing the love that God wants done, or whether you just fall in the crowd. And we're getting to the end of the day. I believe God's going to get a bride out of here that's all glorious within and without. And I'm quite sure that the bride will be walking on top of my casket quite some time before that happens, which is fine by me, but then I hope they kick the casket top open and I go and be part of it. Because I don't know how much I'm going to get on this side. Because if I don't get perfection this side, I'm going to get it that side. That's the word of the living God. But you see, ever since the prophet came on the scene, my brother, my sister, and Israel and Palestine, this something has been going on. And this is what people cannot figure, and he laid it down in the rapture and died. Now they're saying, come back and do something else. Look, I'm happy to have William Branham come back with the Archangel Gabriel. Anybody. And if God Almighty said he wanted Joan of Arc to come by with him, that would suit me fine too, but I'm pretty sure she's not going to, because that's another age. But I wouldn't be surprised at all to find Daddy Bosworth come up and say, well, Lee, didn't I tell you I prayed for God for 40 years, the ministry of Jesus Christ to be in that man, wasn't it so? I say, well, Doc, you're pretty smart old boy. I always knew you were, but you had insight. You're like old Simeon. Yeah. Well, there's great things coming, brother, sister. Don't get worried about it. There's great things coming. But you've got to know this. The vines are growing together. And it hasn't come that far yet. See? Judgments of God are in the world. But that should hit a little bit of Alaska. But what was the judgment to the bride? The little bride. You didn't do it at all. You are the perfect, righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Now, it doesn't mean for 1 minute we're going to sit around and say, well, I can do anything I want. No, sir. You're going to find yourself under harder strain than you've been in all your life. You'll feel more critical of yourself. And anything you see, you'll be more critical all the time. Say, oh, God, that shouldn't be. God, that shouldn't be. Get that life cleaned up. Get all the animosities out. That's hard. If you're a guy like me, I'm just naturally throwing my stack all the time. Funny, you've got just so much steam in so much of a box. And once that steam's out of there, that's all you've got. Then you run your course and you find you're just not too good shape. Because that's what you've been going on. Now you're down, what are you going to go on? Well, you haven't been pulling the whistle on love too much. Some of those things, see? But just realize, we're at the end of the rope, just the same. Prophet's been gone 19 years. Think of it. Kids I picked up as tiny babies, getting married, everything else. I'm still standing here waiting to get out of here. Trying to push my foot into the door. I got just, what is this, the 13th or 14th today? Whatever it is, to September 28th, I should be able to get out of here. 70 years old. Well, you live 70 years, that's enough for anybody. Sure enough for me. Whatever God has got in mind, of course, we've got to try to look at that. But I just want you to know that things are moving on. The false teachers are everywhere. They're rising up, criticizing everything. But you just go with those teachers and say, just a minute now. He said he turned the corner. Where are we at? If he never went away, the prophet said he's doing something different. He didn't do before. Tell me what he's doing. If he didn't go away, how come he said he came down? We want to know the answers. I believe we have the answers, brother, sister, and I believe he came to give us the answers. And because he had to have a man, he gave us a man. He could speak to you and give us the answers. And I don't care who that man was. If God was with that man could only say what God wanted him to say. You better believe that. And God did say, we have everything we need to put us in the rapture. It's all been laid down. We are going to get out of here by the grace of Almighty God. Let's rise. Gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your kindness. We look to you, Lord, that you continue to give us of thyself, Lord, in ways of excellence of wisdom, Lord, because that's what we want. Not just wisdom, we want excellent wisdom like Daniel had from thee, O God. We want the word of the living God to be given to us. We pray thee, Lord, that you hear our prayer, that you do help us, that you love us and lead us in these ways. Now, Father, renew our minds. We pray renew our bodies. Above all, renew the spirits within us by the Holy Ghost. So the word begins to bubble and joy itself and aggrandize itself within us until it is just the joy and the wonderment of the Lord constantly coming through. Now lead us in paths of righteousness for thy sake, O God. Help us to lay down everything that has been against us, Lord, for we are our own enemies. Help us to weigh every word and everything that's every cost and just look at it in the light that what it is, as the Scripture has distinctly said, that all these things we use are going to pass away with the use thereof. Let us learn to use them and let it be gone. Help us now, Lord, to understand this and walk in the light of God, which, if we have caught this one thought at this time, there will be victory in the camp, and I believe there will be, for thou art God, and thou hast heard, and you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.